Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Simcast. I very nearly forgot what the name of the show was then. That's worrying, considering it's only just February. Episode 5. I'm Matt Hunter, as usual, and alongside me, and probably slightly less bewildered, is Thingy, over there.
Good. We're off to a cracking start. And no, I'm always bewildered. I'm in a constant state of bewilderment. So I wouldn't worry.
It's just because we're so damn good at this show.
It's just, oh, yes. That's exactly it's scary how good we are at this show.
It really is. Hello to everybody out there. Hope you've gotten over your Daytona 24 hangovers. The second Daytona 24 hangovers, if you're of an iRacing persuasion. Which in itself, I know they talked about it last week, but I do have to say, was extraordinarily good.
Which one, the virtual or the real one? Well, they didn't speak about the real one last week.
But the virtual one was extraordinary.
The virtual one was really good. For me to enjoy GT racing, that's something. Yeah. And the top split was great to watch as well, when I could. Yeah. Yes. I just love Daytona. Something about Daytona is just excellent. I think it's because it's the traditional motorsport is back event.
It is.
I know we had Formula E, but...
And we've had, Dubai.
Yeah, I always forget to watch that one. I don't know why. I should. Should watch it.
Awkward. Especially as WRT won it. So, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
If you're of a Valentino Rossi persuasion, that's kind of a promising sign.
Oh, do you like Valentino? I didn't know.
No. It's new information, isn't it?
I don't know how you're going to cope, actually, because obviously you've lost Valentino from MotoGP now, and now you've lost Tom Brady. What are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to go and watch Valentino Rossi at Brands Hatch.
I don't think Tom Brady will be doing Brands Hatch.
No.
Something tells me that's not going to happen.
I won't lie, that is a letdown, because I had rather hoped that I'd have gotten to have seen him play in either one of the UK games, or if the planets are aligned, when we do the States next year, hopefully do the States next year, for our wedding anniversary, I'd have gone to an NFL match and seen Bucks play.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
Quite the right timing.
But it's okay. I still have Mike Evans and all the other fans. I'm surprised, actually, that Gronk hasn't announced his retirement literally 2 minutes.
I was expecting the pair of them to hand in their notices, as it were, in tandem.
In fairness, Gronk probably hasn't noticed yet.
They're very much a package deal, aren't they?
Pretty much. But and of course, as far as Chiefs are concerned, I still have Patrick Mahomes, so we're all fine. We're all fine. It's all good. It's gravy.
Yeah. Whereas we have Carson Wentz. Oh God. Anyway, let's move on.
What?
I Colts reference. Don't worry. Never mind. Carry on.
Yeah, sorry.
Our quarterback who is... anyway. Let's move on.
We'll just very quickly say, because obviously the Super Bowl is in a couple of weeks' time, I think it'll be... Is that going to be... I can't look at the calendar now, so...
It's the 13th?
It's the 13th, okay. So we would have had the Super Bowl by the time we do our show next.
Mm.
So that's going to be Rams, and Bengals. Who day? Which I still don't get why that's a...
No, I don't either.
Who day? I don't know, maybe ask the Knuckles the Echidna meme, if you're going to talk like that. I don't know who's going to win out of that, because was it the Bengals?
I'm going Bengals.
Bengals. Big boy Bengals haven't been there since 88. I don't know when the Rams
were. That's why I'm going for the Bengals, just because they were so bad and all of a sudden they're just really good.
Bengals.
I want them to win so badly.
For species confusion, the Bengal Tigers are the underdogs.
Yep.
It's an old Simpsons episode when Homer's betting on the Super Bowl at Moe's Tavern, and they sort of like surreptitiously put a pint in front of Moe's face so that he could basically do different. Because it changed a few times because it was the Patriots, and then and the last one I remember was the Atlanta Falcons, and I was like, yeah. not in a million years. Atlanta Falcons.
Buccaneers. Jacksonville Jaguars. No, anyway.
No. God.
Yes, anyway, we're on the Sim Racing podcast.
How it hasn't frozen over. Not yet.
Not quite.
Oh, dear. Anyway, of course, you can talk to us about all manner of things on Twitter at Simcast Radio using the hashtag SimcastRSL, and also on the Midweek Motorsport Listeners Collective, where we also do post things occasionally. In fact, you will want to talk to us on that, because unfortunately, obviously, this airs on a Thursday, which is tomorrow, and about an hour after we're about to record this, because we're old men and have to have our sleepy pies.
Indeed.
PlayStation are doing their whatever it's called
State of Play event.
State of Play event, and it's pretty much all on Gran Turismo 7, which is really annoying.
It's always the way, no matter when we broadcast this show. Developers always schedule announcements for the most inconvenient time.
They're getting better.
It's just how it works. Yeah, most of them
are getting better. So, apologies to anyone listening to this podcast. If you're not interested, if you're only coming on here to talk about to listen to us talk about how awesome GT7 is, you're gonna have to wait till next week, or look on our Twitter. But I would stay, because we talk about awesome stuff anyway. Starting with iRacing, unsurprisingly.
Yes. Is it really a Simcast episode if we don't talk about iRacing?
Not these days.
Two bits of news for iRacing. One, well, I say news. One is rampant speculation that we hope is true, and one is a new event that's coming later this year. The first of which is the possibility of some more vintage NASCARs, and this is the moment where Matt goes on mute for about 5 minutes.
No, that's fine.
So following on from the 80s NASCARs that were added last year before, it all blends into one. Many people, including Dale Earnhardt Jr., who is now staff at iRacing, have been sort of hoping that we will get some more vintage NASCARs, perhaps earlier ones. And basically where this speculation comes from is Petty's Garage, or Garage, if you're that way inclined.
What, from Bath?
Or from Bath. This is a...
It's a car hole.
It's an affiliation of Richard Petty Motorsports team in... or was in the Cup Series. I believe they're under new ownership now. But anyway, they put out a post on social media saying, essentially inviting iRacing to come and scan two vintage NASCARs.
Mm.
One is the very famous Plymouth Superbird, the 43, which, hell yes. And the other one, now, this is the one that Ben's going to shout at me over. I don't actually know what the other one is. I know it's... I'm moving forward in my seat. It's a Dodge, I know that much, but I don't know which version. I'm going to say a Charger. Could be a Charger.
You're not talking about the Plymouth, then?
No, I mentioned the Plymouth.
It wouldn't have been, the Plymouth isn't a Barracuda, is it? Is that a Barracuda? I know there is a Plymouth Barracuda, but that's
no. The Plymouth with the wing is the Superbird. That's why I've just said that.
Did you? I did what you asked me to do.
What, muted? Great job. So the one in the background, I don't know. I'm going to guess it's a Charger because I know it's a Dodge, but who knows? Ben will hit me for that later, yeah. I'm sure. But either way, they're both old Richard Petty NASCARs. And yes to both of them, please, because that would be great. I've always loved the Superbird, not just because of cars, but... That would be great. There was a bit of confusion because it seemed as though there was another picture circulated about them scanning them. However, I believe that's been debunked as they were being scanned for something else. But considering Petty's Garage, whatever, are willing and wanting iRacing to come and scan them, and iRacing have often said that they're willing to scan pretty much anything as long as they can get them.
Yeah.
I think it's a fairly safe bet that we'll get these at some point.
Seemingly,
especially with Dale Jr.
not Aston Martin, though.
Probably not. But iRacing's always going to be more inclined toward the US market. What I do hope that means, though, is that we get the Ford Mustang GT3 very quickly when that comes out.
Oh, yes.
I love that news.
Magnus finished second with a very beautiful GT3 Vantage, so come on, iRacing.
Yeah, it'd be great.
But yes,
I would love it, but...
Because the Mustang GT... Now, it's interesting you mention that, because I'm pretty sure the reason why they're doing the Mustang GT3 at all is because they want to go back to Le Mans when the main GT class becomes GT3. Which is going to be... And that automatically gives them a mass of different types of... way more variety than they've already got. That means SRO-backed GT3 cars could basically have three incredibly awesome blue ribbon 24-hour races to take part in. In fact, all three of them. Nürburgring, Le Mans, and Spa.
I'm so glad that GT3 is becoming more simple. You know, or GT racing as a whole, rather. So no more GTE and all of that. I'm just so glad it's all aligning more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big fans of that. Yes. So, yeah. Mm. So, hopefully, iRacing, Dale Jr. and the Petty Group... pull their magic and get these cars in, because yes, please, that'd be great. I love the 1980s cup cars that we got. They are a hell of a lot of fun to drive, so yeah, big up for that. The other bit of iRacing news we have is a new special event that is coming later this year.
I don't understand this one.
I'll admit I'd heard of, but I didn't really understand, but I think I get it now. So this iRacing have partnered with the Sports Car Club of America, the SCCA. I added another C there. I don't want to know what that stood for. And they are going to be adding the SCCA runoffs to iRacing special events calendar in October. Essentially, the way this works, it's an event that takes place at Virginia International Raceway. Yeah. And it's essentially a whole load of different championships or groups of cars racing across the weekend. So you have the likes of Formula V, Spec Racers, Miatas, USF 2000s, touring car-esque vehicles. The sort of stuff that you would see in like national series, for example, and for the likes of Spec Racing and Formula V's and Miatas, you know, club racing. So essentially what iRacing are going to be doing is that in the lead up to the main event, everyone on iRacing will have the opportunity to take part in races to qualify, and then the top qualifiers will be a part of the main SCCA runoff event. So I like this. Whilst it's completely different to a lot of the stuff that's on the special events platform, but I think that's good. I think because a lot of the special events are obviously geared at higher licenses. You know, you've got the stuff like the Coke 600, the Indy 500s. So to have something 4D and above in lower powered cars, I think that's cool. I like this. I just wish it wasn't Virginia International Raceway because I suck there. I suck there. So bad.
Stop saying suck. Okay? Dodge.
I'm trying to get all of the dodginess out of the way because I'm not going to be here for the next couple of weeks. So I've got to try and annoy and / creep everybody out while I can. So yeah, SCCA runoffs, that will be taking place in October.
There is actually another event that I've literally just this second become aware of, which we'll come to in a minute, which I think will actually make Jordan's head explode. And the interest of dodginess, either one. But we'll come to that bridge when we invariably get to
Does that happen to involve more American racing?
Yes.
Yes, I know about that already.
Have you
My
seen
head it's not has on exploded.
Our, yes, it's not on our run of thing, but that's fine.
It is. I've got it.
No, it's not. There's a pause because I'm looking at the run of show and he's looking at the run of show and I know. Yeah, okay, it is. You've literally just typed that in.
Nope.
That wasn't there.
Nope. It was there. Anyway, so
I'm
what's
cross
next?
Now. Anyway. Well, I've got the page open anyway. It's going to fall off, but I got it from the proper source rather than some 2-bit news website. Anyway,
I have a rebuttal to that, but I'm not going to waste our time talking about it because it isn't a 2-bit news site. It's the actual site that's partnered with the event. So anyway, let's move on.
Oh, for goodness.
Race Room.
Yes.
Race Room. Exciting news. Well, we were speaking of GT3 racing. Let's talk about DTM.
Yes.
Race Room obviously has a rather ongoing partnership with the DTM in whatever format it is or will be in. So it comes to no surprise that we are getting a new DTM pack. That seems kind of logical, even though it's just glorified GT3s now, but whatever. But however, the exciting news is that with this upcoming DTM pack, Ferrari are going to be a part of it, as they are in the real world, and therefore Ferrari will be making their debut in Race Room.
Yep. With what has fast become my favourite Ferrari.
I was going to say, it's the one that we keep coming back to, the 488 GT3 Evo.
Yes. Yes, very
lovely
cool.
Lovely car.
Very nice
car. Lovely, lovely car.
Did you win at Imola last week?
No, I did not. Oh,
I did.
Well, I was in the top lobby, whereas you weren't, but... so,
that's
a little
harsh.
Bit more difficult. I
was only in the second one, you rude sod.
Anyway.
Wow.
No word yet as to when this pack is going to be coming out. We just have an announcement that Ferrari is coming.
Which says to me that it'll be more than one car as well. So.
Oh yes, yeah, no, it's going to be from what I can guess, it will be. Will it be 2021 or 2022? I don't think 2022 is a bit of a long way off yet, so I imagine it's probably modelled on 2021.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to desperately to remember. So there's the Ferrari, there's the Mercedes,
Lambo.
There's Lambo, BMW in it.
No.
No, they weren't, were they? Which was seemed odd. DTM.
Did you say Audi?
No, I didn't. Audi. Yep, they're in it.
It was because the thing is, and this is really bad. I watched Monza. Because obviously it was new and it was interesting.
Yep, same.
And I remember thinking, there's not a lot of cars.
Oh no, BMW were there with the M6, but there was only two of them. It was Timo and Sheldon van der Linde.
I'm not being funny, but the M6 is a forgettable car.
Yeah, yeah. McLaren was also there, but only a couple of rounds with Christian Klien. And there was also a Porsche for one race with Michael Ammermuller, because of course it was a Porsche.
Fair enough.
But yeah, so the main ones that did the most of the season, Audi, Ferrari, Lamborghini, Mercedes.
BMW. Just thinking about Ferrari. You've heard what their new car is going to be called, yeah? The new F1 car.
Yeah, the SF-75, right?
F1-75. Do you know when the last time Ferrari had F1 in the name of their Formula 1 car?
Oh, God. That's a hell of a question.
I only found this out today. And I hadn't even thought about it. It's actually my genuinely favourite Ferrari F1 car of all time.
Jesus, I can't think. It's pre-2000s. It's pre-90s. I think it's pre-70s because... is it not pre-70s?
Nope.
Okay, interesting, because I immediately thought to the 76 one, which was the F314T or something like that.
But then it's not F1, is it?
Yeah, no, so I was thinking maybe it was before that. Go on.
It's the F1 2000.
Oh, it was 2000, right.
Which is my
favourite. Oh, I always assumed it was the F2000, because F2004. Oh, bloody hell. Well, there you go.
The last time. And what happened in 2000?
He won.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
I would be opposed to that, as long as it's Charles.
that was an immense season. 2000 was an immense season. And that car was just beautiful. So it's the F1, obviously because it's their Formula 1 car, 75th anniversary of Ferrari.
There you go.
So yeah. I think that's very cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Nice little touch.
You know what? I'd not thought at all about that. I always just assumed it was F and then the year, basically.
And do you know what else that... This could be stupid now. Do you know what else that car had, which we've seen on Formula One cars very recently?
Go on.
Delta-shaped front wing.
There you go. It's all rather ominous.
Ain't that new technology, FIA? But no, yeah, very cool. Very cool little notice there. Very cool to see Ferrari coming into another sim. It's cool that it is brilliant that they're actually taking it more seriously and they're getting their brand out there a little bit more than perhaps they have done in the past.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't speculate what else they're going to add, but I can see them adding... I don't know. Probably some other classic GT cars, I'd imagine. Because there are that sort of thing in the game already.
Yeah, that would make sense. I'm trying to think that probably wouldn't add any Formula One stuff because
no.
They license, other than Codemasters, they only license Formula One cars to Assetto Corsa. So that would, logic would dictate that they'll keep that partnership. So,
do you know what I find really, really strange? I know we talk about iRacing a lot, and we do talk about iRacing a lot, because iRacing, as a rule of thumb, probably puts out some of the most consistently comprehensive stuff at the moment.
Yeah.
But actually, I think we're about to realise that R-Factor 2 is probably that at the moment.
You know, R-Factor 2 has always been that one, and I say this every time we talk about it, that I need to play more of, because every time I play it, I really enjoy it. Although one of the things that I used to not like about it has recently changed, obviously, with the UI update that they spoke about last week.
Yes.
But now they're really trying to reel me in. But we'll get on to the one that in particular is drawing me in a moment. Actually, we'll go in reverse order of the things that I care about. So, firstly, they've announced that they're changing the way they release content, and they're moving to a sort of iRacing-esque kind of thing. Yeah, so they're going to have seasons across, I believe it was February... February, May, August, and November, and then all of their new content will release on that same day of each of those months throughout the year. So rather than releasing, in drips and drabs, they'll release them all at once. So that makes sense. It gives us more of an idea of when to look forward to things. You know when the steady stream of content's going to be coming. So that's pretty cool. So to kick off this new release strategy in February, this will be releasing on the next Monday, so the 7th, we are getting, in reverse order of which I care, the Menace of Daytona, the LMP3 from Ligier.
Awesome.
That is undoubtedly, I'm sure it's a really fun car to drive. I just, after Daytona, I'm just like, please don't put them in the 24 again. They're just terrifying.
I have to admit, when I first saw it, I thought, they're putting the LMP2 in, and it's not the LMP2 at all.
No, sadly not. Well, we have got the P2 anyway. I might pick up the P3 just so I might gain a little bit more of an admiration for the people that drive it, because I'm sure it's fun.
Literally, the only other game I know that has that actual car in it is Project Cars 2.
I was going to say, yeah, I think that's the unfortunate moniker for that one. So, yeah, maybe it'll be better in a game that's good.
Generally better, anyway.
So that's the first bit. It's somewhat in keeping with the Daytona theme. Daytona is coming.
Excellent.
This is really good news. So, obviously, I believe there is a Daytona mod already available for the game. Lewis has said it's rather good, but obviously you can't really beat laser scans and all of that. And from the trailer, it looks really, really good. It's R-Factor 2, of course it does.
Yeah.
So that's good. And the oval's going to be in it as well. And what's really good is that although there is the NASCAR version, they're not putting it in the game because it's really, really bad. So that's not why they're not putting it in the game. But
completists will probably be disappointed by this.
Yeah, but who really cares? Like, NASCAR's not going back to the Daytona Road Course this year anyway.
Okay.
Hopefully they never go back. And if they do, they just use the normal course instead of that pointless, stupid eyesore of a chicane.
So,
that's fine. We can gloss over the fact that it's not there because nobody really cares.
It'd be very interesting, unless it's said and I haven't noticed it, because I do tend to gloss over these things unless I'm deeply interested in it. It'd be interesting to see what like what year scan this is.
Mm.
I know changes tend to be subtle.
Unless you're iRacing.
Yeah.
But yeah, because obviously we've just got
that because as like take for example Spa in iRacing.
Mm.
That needs updating.
Badly. But I'm glad I'm glad that they've waited rather than going to all the expenses of updating it only to then have to redo it again when Eau Rouge gets massively changed.
It's nearly done by the looks.
Yeah. Amazing. So hopefully that they'll go and scan that this year because that really needs a good rescan.
But when you used to play like older games, even older PC games, older Formula One games and stuff, you could usually reskin the circuits with updated hoardings and stuff like that because people modded it and it looked great. But as soon as you start getting actual physical circuit changes, it became a lot harder to do, to do well. And now in this wonderful world of laser scanning, you kind of think, oh no, I want the most up-to-date version every single time. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously iRacing do it incredibly well. They do it incredibly regularly.
It will be interesting to compare it directly to the iRacing one, because obviously we got the 2022 scan just before the Rolex, and then subsequently the updated version with the correct chicane after the Rolex. So it'll be interesting to compare the two and see how many differences there are depending on when they scanned it for R Factor. So exciting. But then we come to the really exciting thing for me anyway. So obviously we know that R-Factor 2 is now a part of Motorsport Games. What are Motorsport Games bringing out soon? An IndyCar game.
Yes.
And I believe we covered this last month or so. The R-Factor 2 devs announced or confirmed that any car or piece of content that they have as a result of an exclusive license for its own game, for example, NASCAR, IndyCar, BTCC, wouldn't be limited to just that exclusive game. It could cross into the more wider releases such as R-Factor 2. So what do we have today? They have announced that next Monday, the IR18 IndyCar will be coming to R-Factor 2.
Clean up in aisle 3. Clean up in aisle 3.
I am absolutely delighted about this. It obviously, with it being R-Factor 2, it's done in very, very good detail. It's got all of the numerous body packages, so the short oval, the oval, the super speedway, the road course, you know, all of that. It's got, they've added push to pass features into the game, as well as the weight jacker. Weight jacker is a very important adjustment that they make on ovals such as Indianapolis, for example. It completely changes how the car drives, so it's good that they've added that.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously there will be the choice of Honda or Chevrolet power plants as well. Yes, this is really good news. and they are showcasing this really good news by having the IndyCar Esports Pro Challenge. This is somewhat a evolution of the esports events that IndyCar held last year. Basically, you know, having some of the real world drivers competing against each other in the esports world. So yeah, this will be taking place on the 9th of February on the Traction GG network of channels. And so far people...
Next Wednesday?
Yes, it is. Oh, I'm not going to be able to watch it.
Oh, shucks.
God damn it. I am going to make sure that I've made sure that just before I'm going to be without internet, that's the day I lose internet is the day after this car releases. So I'm going to absolutely make sure I have it downloaded, so I've got something to do when I have no internet. Mm. But yeah, so far confirmed to be taking part in the IndyCar Pro Challenge is Alex Palou, the reigning champion, the reigning Indy 500 champion Elio Castroneves, and Rolex 24 winner as well for the second time. Congratulations, as well as Joseph Newgarden, two-time NTT IndyCar Series champion, amongst many others, I'm sure. So yeah, this is good news. I know obviously after NASCAR 21 Ignition, we were a little bit, you know, is this what Motorsport Games are going to be doing, because that game was awful. However, it's good to know at least if the exclusive or the exclusive games turn out to be Bantha Poodoo, at least the vehicles might not go to waste because they'll be put into a good game like R Factor 2. I'm sure that IndyCar and the subsequent specific releases will be better, but at least we have this, and I'm very
happy. Did you see what happens, what the first, second, and third place drivers get?
Yeah, so this is for charity, which is good, considering they're all racing drivers, so they're going to be rich anyway. But the overall winner gets $10,000 to donate to a charity of their choice. Second place gets $8,000. Third place gets $5,000. And a random driver in the field will get $2,500 to give away. So not only are we showcasing a really cool car on a really cool sim, but we're also, you know, seeing some charity donations. That's excellent. So yeah, I'm a happy person. This is great news.
You have to end up doing a car comparison from R Factor 2, iRacing.
Nobody else.
Is it an AMS 2? It is an AMS 2.
Not the current one, no. Oh. But that I believe that will be what's in Racing USA Part 3 whenever that releases later this year. Yeah. So. Speaking of Racing USA and AMS 2.
Oh my goodness, the segue is coming thick and fast.
Womp, womp. yes, you may remember, dear listener, that Racing USA Part 2, the DLC released for Automobilista 2 in December, beginning of December. And with that came a bunch of old IndyCars. This is a good episode. I like this episode. Specifically,
this is the IndyCar episode.
And I am not complaining. This is great.
I have brought wine and cheese. We are therefore calling this a work meeting.
Good Lord. Good evening, Prime Minister. Anyway.
For now.
Yeah, for now. That released in December, and it brought with it a couple of mid-90s kart/IndyCars. It also brought the Cleveland Airfield Circuit and Watkins Glen. And we were also promised that later down the line we would get Road America, as well as some more IndyCars, this time from the 2000s. And guess what's happened?
I'm not going to lie, looking at the release, as I'm sure you were at the same time, obviously the dear listener is not. Captain Subtext sees this a different way. Where it says, the version 1.3.3.0 patch is headlined by new content in the form of Road America and the FUSA Gen 3 class cars.
That's not the best name, is it?
might as well
have called it America. No. anyway. Yes, this adds Road America. Yes, yeah, so these cars and track have now arrived as of Tuesday. I remember the day. And yeah, the two cars are the Reynard 2KI and the Lola B2K /00. Two carts from the early 2000s. And they look great. And from what I've heard, they drive really great. However, I've not yet driven them. That's what I'm going to be doing as soon as we finish recording the show. But obviously these cars and Road America come free to people who have already purchased Racing USA Part 2, because it's basically a continuation. This isn't part 3, it's just finishing what we should have had in December. So yeah, that's excellent. And alongside the update, for people who like free stuff, the McLaren MP4-1C, the 1983 McLaren, is now in the game. Basically,
this is where it gets really sad. Okay, I looked at the car. I didn't read the stuff. As you know, I don't read the stuff. I very rarely read the stuff. I don't read the stuff. I looked at the car and I went, "That's John Watson's car." And I looked at I looked and read the stuff afterwards, and it is.
It is exactly driven by Lauda and Watson.
So I knew there you a go. Thing.
You've nailed that. as is the case with AMS, it's also going to be joined by two fictional-esque cars, basically modelled exactly the same to be competitive with the McLaren. The F Retro Gen 3 Turbo and the F Retro Gen 3 DFY Aspirated. So basically, McLaren's got some stuff to race against, which I appreciate, you know, where you can't get licenses, just make stuff that looks right.
Hmm.
I like that a lot. That's a good strategy. That's not it, though. We also got the... so you may remember in December, Volkswagen started an eSports series on AMS2. And the TSI Cup class will also be receiving the VW Polo GTS and the VW Virtus GTS. So yeah, they're now in the game as well. I don't know what to expect at all from those cars, so we'll see. Could be fun. Loads of other stuff came in this update, a lot of bug fixes. A cockpit camera physics has apparently received a huge update. Just changing how G-force affects and leaning and VR behaves in the game. So yeah, get back on AMS2 and try that out.
That's an order.
Yeah, that is an order. AMS2 is very, very good. We say this every time. It's much better than it was when it launched, so it's worth a go.
And I have to say, I know McCarthy says, oh, Road America. But actually, Road America's a really good circuit.
Road America is the best track in America.
Oh, I don't know about that.
What would you suggest? This is open also. Yeah, get in contact with us at Simcast RSL on Twitter and tell us what's your favourite American track is.
Right.
Nobody say VIR.
Right.
Yes.
Two.
Go on.
Daytona.
Fair. I'll agree with you on that.
Would
the other one be Watkins Glen? Because I've just thought of Watkins Glen.
Yeah, it actually is.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, no, in fairness, I say mandatorily Road America is. I think Road America is as good as any other US track to drive, any of the good ones such as Watkins Glen. But I think Road America always seems to put on the best racing, at least in IndyCar, which and even NASCAR, if you can call that racing. I don't know, Road America, something about it just lends itself to amazing racing. Watkins Glen has it too. Daytona has it too. Look at last Sunday and Saturday. But I don't know. Road America is something about it I just love.
Do you know, I was going to say originally I was going to say Road Atlanta. Now, I used to love Road Atlanta. Thank you, Forza.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly where you're going.
And then I played it properly on iRacing. And I have a newfound hatred for that circuit.
Have you found it? I think I must have mentioned this on the show before. I'm usually quite good at learning new tracks. However, Forza has ruined Road Atlanta for me. I preferred the way it was in Forza. However, the more accurate version, i.e. the one we should all be using, is just so much harder. And yet, I really struggle to learn the differences. I can't get the Forza version out of my head.
No. It's the turn. Weird. It's the turn. It's the over the crest turn, 2, 3, 4,
yep,
all down the hill before you go back.
Yep.
All that section, I felt like I knew it. I felt like it was ingrained in my mind. And you know, I cannot. Same as you.
No.
The rest of the track, not a problem. That section, and I knew it changed. I knew that the Forza version wasn't current. I can't
get it out. No, I'm exactly the same. When we came to do the Petit Le Mans on iRacing at the end of last year, I didn't do it because I wasn't enjoying endurance racing at the time, but also, I don't think I'd have been able to learn it. It's that hard. I don't know. It's
that
weird.
That said, I also... I do still like Sebring a lot. I do. However, as you know, I'm doing a lot of work testing the 488 GT3 Evo ahead of the 12 hours. And when I first got iRacing, I think Sebring's like a comfort track for me. But in the sense that, like, I've driven it a load on.
Yeah.
On Forza, I know the layout. The layout hasn't changed, that's fine. But when I was driving it back then on iRacing, I still had my old wheel set up.
Mm.
So this was pre CSW 2.5. And when I went on it the other week, having said quite confidently, yes, I'll do the Sebring 12-hour, it'll be fine, what's the problem? It'll be brilliant. I love that circuit. I nearly shook my fillings out of my head just driving down the main straight, let alone Sunset.
Oh, God, no, no.
Respect the bumps.
You really do have to. You really, really do.
Fucking Broncos got nothing on that. That's terrifying. I mean, I did start to get it towards the end. I changed the setup a bit within my limited understanding of actual setup work on a game that isn't Forza. And it was a little bit more manageable, thankfully. But goodness me. Yeah, my arms are going to not be happy with me after a significant period of that. But
yeah, that's... Yeah, I think I kind of shoehorned myself into doing it. I wasn't originally going to, but I'm now going to do it. And Sebring is a track that I've never fared well at.
You are going to do it?
Yeah, I am going to do it.
Oh, yeah. That's news to me. This is breaking news. this is breaking news, Simcasters. No,
Originally, Daytona was going to be the one that I did just because I really like Daytona, but
then you really
really enjoyed Daytona, yes. Like really well, so I want to do it more.
I
so,
have to say,
yeah, I'm good at it.
I have to say, I really enjoyed joining your stream. That was very cool.
All I can remember from that is the sponsor placement.
Yeah, and yes, and I will say thank you also to Duhuhu and Don. And Snowbeast, who all came on from the gaming athlete Discord to support Jordan as well. I think Dom was particularly impressed with your bendiness at being able to show off the socks every so often.
That's not going to happen now. I've got the monitor much closer to me. I'm going to end up kicking it if I try that again. So, but yes, yeah. Thank you to all those guys for showing up. That made Daytona a lot more fun when I'm not driving. So. Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Stay tuned for Sebring. It's going to be something.
Bumpy. Hashtag.
Bumpy.
Hashtag respect the bumps. There's not a huge amount out. Obviously, we can't really talk about Gran Turismo 7 too much on the grounds of the fact that the event happens in, checks watch, 30 minutes time, which is
the event happened yesterday for those of you listening, but it yet hasn't happened for us. Wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Yes, and this show has about 18 minutes left, and we're not dragging it out just so that we can watch Gran Turismo and live do a live reaction YouTube video or something like that, where the thingy picture, whatever it's called, is just us looking like we've just stepped on Lego.
Yeah. You know. And we do it so that our faces are bigger than the thing we're reacting to by like miles. Like the thing we're reacting to is like really small and in the corner to avoid copyright.
And a big arrow.
Yeah.
And a circle over around something that we don't know what it is.
And there's an explosion behind us and is GT7's career over? Anyway, no, we're not doing that.
But the only thing we will say is a headline, because we like headline figures. There were lots for Daytona, which is very, very cool. The Gran Turismo series has been a success on nearly all fronts since its debut more than 20 years ago. That makes me feel old. Actually, it can be quite old. The series has sold over 70 million units.
It's impressive, isn't it? That is quite insane. When you think about it,
pre-ordered.
Do you? Yes. Have you got a PlayStation?
Yes.
Wow, you have.
I have.
Bloody hell! Who'd you kill for that?
Didn't.
The person at Argos.
Yeah,
no, I'm mad.
And it comes with the soundtrack.
Oh, cool!
Not obviously the game comes with the soundtrack, but the special version comes with. The soundtrack separately.
Is it on vinyl?
No, it's digital. I've got the digital version. But apparently, it's leaked onto some random music streaming platform that's available in like the Far East. It's called Juju or something like that. Had you heard this?
I'd heard that, and apparently, it might have leaked one of the tracks that's in the game.
Apparently, it leaked like a special the special version of
Moon over the castle. Moon over the castle. I don't know what
or something like that.
There you go. That was perfect.
Thing is, the fast version, which is like the properly in inverted commas Japanese version of it, I don't really like. I like the choir version that they did from Gran Turismo 4 with the G, because this is the thing, and I know we talked about this a bit, but I'm going to bring it up again because we've got time, so I'm going to talk about it. When they did the actual date release for Gran Turismo 7, and the track is called, the track that they used was called Chaos on the Space Station or something like that, which is pretty cool.
That sounds like a derivative of Panic at the Disco, but go on.
But yeah, the version of, I don't know, double check that, but the version of Moon Over the Castle that, well, that they had was a organ. And whilst that's playing, the sort of warm-up bits for graphically on screen is very much a GT7 take on various intro parts from all the previous iterations of Gran Turismo. It's so clever and really, really, really cool. Even, and what it did was it made me go back on YouTube, because you can find these things on YouTube, the old intro videos, and you can see it there. You can see them and all the songs that they had as well. Like you had, what were they called? Gran Turismo 2 was the Cardigans.
I was going to say, I'm going to be no help here for you, because I did not.
It was, the band was called... The band was called the Cardigans, and their album was actually called Gran Turismo.
Oh, no, I'm thinking... there was another game that had my favourite game. The song by... Was that by the Cardigans, or was that by the Carpenters?
That was the Cardigans. Yeah,
yeah. That there. What game had that song as
that's
the intro?
I remember that.
Why do I remember that? I didn't play that game.
they also had. They've had some really good ones. The thing is, of course, we are talking about the UK/European versions, because the American version has a different piece of music. I think the Japanese version has a different piece of music, and I'm not being funny. They're not as good.
Well, we're going to be biased, aren't we? But that
Kasabian,
that Cardigan song,
Kasabian,
love that.
Kasabian was GT4.
Oh, which song was it? The da 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 da. Was it that one, or was it Shoot the Runner?
Neither.
Neither. Oh,
no,
that's the only Kasabian
special,
songs I know.
It is a special. So, on the obviously their first album, which is the self-named album. It is a, is it Submarine? Hang on, I shall tell you. Okay, it is right. The song is called Reason is Treason. The actual version of it that they use in Gran Turismo, if you go to the last track on the album, which is called U-Boat, when it ends, I think it's about 3 minutes of silence, and then the actual version from Gran Turismo plays, and it's brilliant. So good. So good. Yeah, they've had some... One thing I've always loved about Gran Turismo, they are extremely good at picking songs for... For stuff like that. Yeah, Moon Over the Castle is very good. Who was the other band they had... They use loads of. It was a Japanese one. You can't get it on Spotify at all, which is really annoying. It doesn't matter. It'll come to me. But yeah, there's some brilliant. Just Google it. Google various trailers for like GT5, GT6.
Definitely. If we did GT4. A Simcast award for best music, it would probably go to Gran Turismo.
I mean, Forza. Don't get me wrong. Forza have done very good ones. Forza 4's release trailer was very good. Horizon 4's one was brilliant. But Gran Turismo hits it all the time. All the time.
Actually, I was going to mention a trailer for something that we're going to talk about in Esports Roundup in a bit, so bear that in mind, because very good trailer for that. But yeah. No, I'm excited to see. Whilst I haven't played Gran Turismo, even though I remember that Carpenter's song, and whilst I won't be playing this one because I don't have a PlayStation 5 and I'm not willing to take part in the sacrificial ceremonies that are required to get one, I am excited to see what comes with it, because Gran Turismo, with the success of sport, and in particular with the success of the FIA events, like, they have been by far the best console esports / racing game of the last few years by a wide margin.
Yeah,
and I'm really excited to see what elements of that they bring over into the main Gran Turismo title, if you will, and what they expand upon with that. Like, I'm really excited to see how this goes.
100%.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah, this could be fantastic. I can't.
How many
wait.
Days is it now? When does it come out? It's end of
March 4th.
End of March 4th. Wow. March 4th, not long March at all. 7th.
Not long at all.
Not long.
And a couple of pictures that Ben put up from someone who seems to have some access to various bits already. It's called Share Gameplay on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
At Share Gameplay. And the first thing that got me rather excited, which is the reason he put it up in the first place, was a lovely picture of the Aston Martin DB11. But that didn't do it for me. Well, it did do it for me, but it didn't do it for me. What actually did it for me was a picture of a wingless version of the limited edition FK8 Civic Type R, which is in yellow with a black roof.
Ooh.
Which looks absolutely stunning, and it is the current version with the extra weird little coloured winglets to break the back end up a bit. So I'm hoping that means you could put the wing on it, because it does look... I don't like the idea of a Type R without a rear wing, but it does look extremely good. And it is doing a drag race, weirdly, against... Okay, it's a Camaro.
Yeah.
And the Civic was winning.
Interesting.
Very. I'm gonna go with not Bogo standard.
No, probably not. Something's telling me no.
But my mind is telling me yes.
I was singing that song earlier. That's weird. Anyway,
we need to. In the last 8 minutes of the show, we need to do the esports roundup of the week, brought to you by the Gaming Athlete.
Good job on resisting the urge to do the bad jingle. Good job.
You know, Dom was doing a rap last week.
Yeah, can we sample that and put it in, or no?
I don't think he'd want that.
No. But, well, if he wants to come up with an original rap,
unfinished masterpiece to the music of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, I'll have you know.
Well, there you go. Well, if he feels like doing a sequel and wants to rap the intro to the Esports Roundup of the Week, that would be great. We can always put that in.
In all seriousness, listeners, we are going to get, because he went down really well on the show, we are going to try and get him back later this season. He didn't do a stream yesterday because he had a bit of a concussion issue in the match on the weekend. So he was advised by the medics to basically not look at screens for a long time, which I didn't realise was a concussion thing. But apparently, and also these professionals would know.
Yes.
So get well soon, Don, and we'll hopefully get you on the show, because we want to talk about the psychology of sport and that sort of thing down the line, which would be very interesting indeed.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, something that doesn't require any brains whatsoever, eNASCAR.
Good segue. Well, firstly, of course, if you want to learn more about how to reach athlete status in gaming by maximizing your performance and restoring your well-being, visit thegamingathlete.com.
You can't tell, dear listeners, but he is straining his leg to show his socks on the screen once again.
I'm barefoot at the moment, so that wouldn't be good. That's kinky. A completely different kind of market. So we are not on Twitch, and this is not just chatting. Anyway, eNASCAR, Coca-Cola iRacing Series, yes. Reflecting the Real Life Cup Series, the eNASCAR Series held its pre-season exhibition race, The Clash, which for this year, as many of you may know, is taking place inside the LA Coliseum. Yes, that does sound like a bad idea. It probably is. as you may know, iRacing released the LA Coliseum last week. I've tried it and it's quite fun. It's not worth the money they charge, but it's really fun. But yeah, the eyes were on the NASCAR drivers and teams to kind of give us a glimpse maybe at what we might see coming this Sunday in the real Clash at the LA Coliseum. What's also worth mentioning is obviously the eNASCAR drivers played a very important role in actually developing the track, because a lot of the simulations for how the track would work were done in iRacing. So if anybody's going to be able to give us a glimpse of what we might see in real life, it's the people that kind of made it become a thing in real life. As is the real event, I can't speak English all of a sudden. As will be the case in real life, the event was made up of 10 car, 25 lap heats leading to a feature race, with the top four of each heat advancing to the feature race and the remaining drivers taking part in a last chance qualifier to take the final six positions on the field. Heat one would be won by Vincente Salas with Michael Conti, Stephen Wilson and Garrett Lowe all advancing alongside him. The second heat, Jimmy Mullis would win with Casey Kerwin, Bobby Zelensky and Nick Ottinger advancing. The field managed to go three wide on the final lap of the final turn. I bet you can't guess how that went out. The third heat was even more chaotic. I don't know, have you ever seen an entire field of cars all send it into the first corner?
Touring cars.
Because that's...
regularly.
Actually, no, it was quite similar to that famous Oschersleben start, except it was an oval and there were many, many, many mistakes. But yeah, that one would be won by Graham Bolin, with Liam Brotherton, Matt Busser and Caden Honeycutt taking the transfer spots. And the final heat race would be won by the defending series champion Keegan Leahy, ahead of his teammate Mitchell DeJong, Donovan Strauss and Blake Reynolds. The last chance qualifier race, as I said, would be the top six advancing from the remaining 22 drivers. This is literally what I've wrote down. There was literally too much carnage to accurately keep track of. It was mental. So it was just ridiculous. Like I was up in the early hours of the morning writing this, and I just lost track. Everyone was dying. In the end, Dylan Duval, even my notes don't make sense. Dylan Duval would take the LCQ win and would advance along with Briar LaPrade, Michael Guest, Parker Retzlaff, Colin Keister and Garrett Maines. And that would leave us with the feature. So all of that was just to get into the main race. The four heat winners, Salas, Mullis, Bolin and Leahy, would start from the front for the feature race of 22 drivers with 120 laps ahead of them. So it was quite a long race. Michael Conti would actually make his way up into the lead of the race for the first half. But the biggest gainer of the race as it entered its final half would be Briar LaPrade. He had to get into the feature race as a result of the last chance qualifier and therefore started 18th. And despite the fact that LA Coliseum is a notoriously difficult track to pass at cleanly anyway, he made his way from 18th to 4th in the first half of the race. It was quite an impressive feat. On a late restart, Casey Kerwin would actually move himself past Conti to take the lead away. Conti would continue to fade as the laps wound down, would eventually lose a position to LaPrade, who moved into the top three. But once Casey got in the lead, no one would really catch him. He just slowly began to pull away. He seemed to be the only driver that was actually shifting. A lot of the other drivers were staying in third gear, whereas he was shifting down to second and then immediately shifting to third. And it seemed to work as he just slowly pulled away. So in the end, he would take victory. Kerwin would cross the line to take the win by about a second over the 23 car of Mitchell DeYoung. Briar LaPrade would take third to cap off, once again, a really, really impressive performance to go from 18th to the podium. And this was his first eNASCAR start, even though it's an exhibition race. He's a rookie this year, so it'll be really interesting to see what he does the rest of the year. I think what we learned was that the real race this Sunday is going to be a interesting one, because it genuinely seems as though the only way you could really pass people is by moving them. So, yeah, I think the Clash name might become a little bit literal. So with the Clash out of the way, the eNASCAR drivers will now have full focus on the season proper. The 2022 eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacer Series will start with round one at Daytona on February 15th. So, yeah.
Fun stuff. LA and LA won.
Yes.
Is a Clash joke for you.
There you go.
Didn't say that's it was a good one. Wasn't it?
And the final bit of esports news is another one of our beloved series is coming back. The Porsche Esports Super Cup is kicking off this weekend. That's right. They only announced it a couple of days ago, but it's happening in this weekend. Genuinely, this is probably iRacing's most competitive, and I would honestly say probably one of their best series they do.
I'm not saying that Toro gave Porsche the idea to get deeply into sim racing, but I'll let you say that.
But
it's conveniently timed. Anyway, yes.
Yeah. So 35. I'm going to move on because no. 35 drivers will be competing in the how many rounds was this again? I had this a minute ago.
Doesn't say.
13 or 8, and I don't remember what. 10. Never mind.
Oh, that's what we call the median. Dear listener.
That's about right. 35 drivers will be competing for the championship across the 10-round season with $200,000 in prize money up for grabs.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. And as I said,
that'd be about £18.
Yeah, something like that. You might be able to get a Freddo for that.
Yeah.
Like I said, last year's season, I think it proved that this was one of not only the most exciting, but one of the best for actual racing. You know, eNASCAR's good and all, but like something about the way these guys race each other, it's the one that looks the most like reality for me.
Yes, 100%.
Because the drivers drive accurately, and it just all looks right. I really enjoy the Porsche Esports Super Cup, so I'm glad it's back.
And you and I have both started trying the new car a bit more.
And I've gotten along with it a bit better than I did the last one.
I won't lie, when I first got it, I did make the mistake of trying to race at Knockhill, which was a big, big error.
Yeah.
I did the race last week at the A1 Ring, Red Bull Ring, and thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm using my Rexing. It's really, really good.
Mm.
Absolutely love the car. It's for a cup car, very precise. Fantastic.
Yeah. So that season, the season kicks off at Hockenheim this weekend. And the other thing I love about Porsche is the variety on the calendar as well, because you got places like Hockenheim, Silverstone, and of course the Nordschleife later this year. Circuit de la Sarthe is on there. Yeah, it's just a really good calendar. So I'm really excited for this. I can't wait. It's going to be good.
So there we go, ladies and gentlemen. That is the Simcast episode 5 in the books.
Good job.
We're up. Well, one of us is off to go and live tweet the state of play on Gran Turismo 7. The other one of us is probably about to go and watch Boba Fett again. So have a lovely week. We will see you in 2. Well, I will.
Jordan
may or may not. We don't know.
I'll see you on the other side, folks.
Have a good one, guys. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.